This podcast brought to you by Peterson Auto Group. With 5 stores and 10 brands and more than 1,800 new and used vehicles to choose from, Peterson Auto Group likely has your perfect car.
Live from the Next Title Studio, this is News Talk 670 KBOI. If you're talking about it,
they're getting nervous, and they should be nervous.
You know, I kind of disagree with what you're saying.
We're talking about it.
You know, I think it's kind of great that you guys have that duality.
This is Idaho Talks Live with Chris Walton and Paul J. Schneider on the News and Talk of Idaho, 670 KBOI.
839, David Allen in for Paul J. Chris Walton, Todd with 1D. I have a question for you, Chris.
Okay, what is that?
You had a pretty good weekend, right?
Yeah. I mean, you know,
it was 1D, you had a pretty good weekend?
It was a weekend. Even the worst weekend I had was probably still pretty good.
I had a pretty good weekend. I think the only thing that went poorly, I had a little calf strain when I was out for my run Saturday.
Mm-hmm.
So that wasn't too bad.
Stay away from the ranch.
You know who didn't have a good weekend?
Who?
Raul Labrador.
Well,
he was excoriated.
He ended up, I can tell you this, he ended up on MSNBC a lot.
He was on CNN,
and
he was on Fox.
He was on Face the Nation, Meet the Press.
He was everywhere.
And not as a guest, them just showing one sentence that he uttered in Lewiston on Friday.
Yes. This is from a Idaho Statesman. Nicole Blanchard wrote this. In response to intense criticism over his suggestion that, quote, nobody dies because they don't have access to health care. Representative Raul Labrador Saturday night said the comment wasn't very elegant and was taken out of context. I was responding to a false notion that the Republican health care plan will cause people to die in the streets, which I completely reject, Labrador said in a statement to the Statesman, which also posted on his Facebook page.
Yeah.
Labrador said he had a lengthy exchange with a constituent in which he explained to her that Obamacare has failed the vast majority of Americans. He said the media is focusing on a 5-second clip in which he responded to the woman's claim that he's mandating people on Medicare except dying by saying,
yeah, well, he's a congressman, so he should know that no matter where you say something stupid, they're going to take it and isolate it and play it on the news ad nauseum.
He says that line is so indefensible. Nobody dies because they don't have access to health care. Is that a strange phrase to use?
A little bit. Now, what he meant by that line is indefensible. He meant what that woman said.
Yes.
He said, you know, there's no way for you to defend what you just said. In other words, it's indefensible. So that's like what a lawyer would say to
you. Yes.
And, you know, he went to law school. So, I mean, you know, University of Washington. So he's a lawyer. But then he was trying to just explain, you know, here's what actually kills people. And it's not this. And here's what's this. And you know, and people are always trying to explain in some way, and I don't always see the difference, because you know, you can either pay for something or you can't, generally.
Yes.
And they always talk about, well, this isn't about health care, it's just about insurance. It's got nothing to do with health care, it's all insurance.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm thinking, well, yeah, but it has something to do with health care, because it's how you pay for health care. And the problem with what's going on right now is, if it all does pass, you know, what they passed in the House is apparently about 24 million people will no longer have health insurance who currently do have it. Now, they say the rest of us, those of us who were paying for it before and are still paying for it and have had to pay a lot more, may have cheaper premiums. Or, depending on whom you're listening to at any particular time, might not.
Well, and the thing is, though,
no one seems to be sure of anything.
If those 24 million people don't, you know, end up not having insurance, of course, they can still be treated because of the, and this is what Labrador was talking about, the Emergency Medical Treatment and Labor Act, which is a 1986 federal law.
Which the money for that still comes out of taxes.
Yeah. That requires.
So what's the difference?
That requires emergency departments to stabilize and treat anyone who comes into their facility,
so then the
regardless of insurance status or ability to pay.
Right. So the difference then would be people come in when there's an emergency, but for a yearly checkup,
wellness checkup, they can't
go into the OBGYN. They don't do any of that stuff.
No. This is just for folks who have emergency situations.
Right.
And so that's why he's saying nobody dies from not having health insurance, because if you're in a car crash and you don't have insurance, they're still going to treat you.
However,
not getting wellness checkups.
If you don't go to the doctor, and going to the doctor might have discovered that you have cancer.
Exactly.
And you end up dying from that cancer, and you didn't go to the doctor because it was too expensive to pay out of pocket.
Yeah.
Then maybe you know, maybe not lack of access to health care, but poor access to health care.
And that's
or lack of access to as much health care as you might need it.
And that's when it comes down to preventative versus emergency care and now, what people can or cannot afford.
This was the second time in a little over a week or two that he ended up on a lot on, like I said, it's mostly on MSNBC, some on CNN. Fox didn't seem to think it was too big of a deal.
Okay, yeah.
Which is understandable because they look at things, you know, more from the right perspective. Right, as opposed to left.
Yes.
Boy, MSNBC just had a field day with it because they said, you know, they can't believe, and they all just laughed. I mean, whenever he would say nobody ever died from lack of health care, they're like, well, no, actually lots of people have. And you know, just it was just the phrasing of it, I guess. And he said it was said rather inelegantly.
Yes.
Which is, that's a congressional way to say, okay, I screwed that up. Let me rephrase that completely.
336-3700, 1-800-529-5264, or #670 on your Verizon Wireless. Your thoughts about Raul Labrador's statements from Friday night and then his explanation on Saturday. We will talk to you next, but first at 845.
There are more flooding concerns, and it extends far beyond just the Boise River now. Details straight ahead on 670 KBOI.
Remember, you are listening to Paul, Jay, and Chris on 670 KBOI.
Maybe my favorite Genesis song. I love this song. Got a great intro. Drums. Greatness. Anyway.
So that would have been Phil Collins playing the drums?
Yep, that would have been Phil Collins playing the drum and singing lead.
I had a friend of mine, and he was a little bit of a, I don't know if you'd, I guess BS artist is a good way to say it. You know, he loved to just get into conversations he didn't know anything about, and then, you know, it proclaim a lot of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And we had gotten tickets to go see Genesis, and I said something about Phil Collins, and he says, yeah, that guy can really pull some strings. Because he thought he was the guitar player.
Oh, dear.
I said, well, yeah, that's unusual for a drummer.
Exactly.
And it just, I don't know, for some reason, it had escaped him that Phil Collins played the drums because he also sang lead.
That's true.
And apparently he didn't know about Don Henley.
Right, we're talking about Raul Labrador, his comments from Friday, his explanation on Saturday, and the bad weekend that he might have had. Tom in Boise, you're on 670 KBOI. How are you today?
Well, good morning, young man. I have a chance to talk to Mr. Labrador frequently, Representative Labrador, and he's a nice guy, but he's a politician, and he's an attorney. And having said that, he doesn't know a lot about health insurance and health care, and most politicians, and unfortunately some in the media, have not been able to figure out that there's a difference between health care and health insurance. Health care is something that you decide what you're going to do for yourself. You decide, am I going to go to the doctor? Am I going to quit smoking? Am I going to lose weight? You know, how much exercise am I get? All that stuff. Those are the decisions you make. Health insurance is a commodity you purchase. And the problem we get into, if you don't have health insurance, I mean, the lady who made the comment that people who come to the hospital are dying because they don't have health insurance, my first comment would have been to her, is, are you telling me that the insurance company is deliberately not providing care to people who don't have health insurance? And she said that would have been no, then that would have been a not, her statement would not have been true.
Yeah.
The issue is that there are some elective procedures or things that probably may not be life saving that sometimes the hospital or the doctors will discuss with someone and say, this is something that really is not absolutely required to keep you alive. We don't have health insurance, and it's going to cost you $30 million. Do you want to do this? And you can say, no, thank you.
Mm-hmm.
But I think the issue that we get into, and we have this problem. I was back in D.C. a number of times having conversations with the staffers and our congressmen and others who have not been able to, for some reason, to separate those two issues. Healthcare is what you do to take care of yourself. And if I'm sick, I'm not feeling good, and I choose not to spend $60 or $70 or $100 or $150 to go see my doctor, and I die, that is not the government's responsibility. That was my job, my responsibility. Now, granted, part of the problem that we're running into with the cost of healthcare is the government in which they reimburse. I just got off the phone with one of our clients who's having some challenges with an insurance company. The physical therapist, for an example, is charging $222. but the government says they can only collect 100 because of the way the contract that they're in. You know, I mean, it would be like going to KBOI and said, I know you guys charge $1,500 a month for a program to run so many ads a month, and it works, but in this particular case, because Tom Shores is poor and he's ugly, and he's now, we're only going to allow you to charge $500, you couldn't stay in business very long.
Exactly.
And those are the situations we're getting. So that's why we're seeing an escalation in price, because doctors are getting undercut by these government programs, both Medicaid and Medicare. Medicaid reimburses somewhere between 30 and 40 cents on the dollar. Medicare is about 50% to 50%, and the insurance companies are about 60. So the issue that I try to get across to people is that health insurance is a commodity you purchase, and you get to decide if you're going to pay for it. The government getting involved, Obamacare, has put that in the position that for a lot of people, that is a decision that's very difficult. We have clients who are paying $2,500 a month for a health insurance plan. I mean, give me a break. That's the price of a really decent house. And, you know, and you start thinking about it, and this is crazy. You know, for someone to pull that much money out of their budget to cover an insurance policy with the potential. I mean, these guys have $10,000 deductible plans, you know, and the situation is for the potential of having something down the road.
Tom, I got a question for you. Is there a way, I mean, is there a way to insure everybody and insurance companies can still make a living?
I think the answer to that question would be, I don't have a good answer for that one. The only way that we're ever going to find that out is the way that we're not going to be able to get, and that is going back to the private market. In other words, putting people in the position to saying, okay, here's an insurance company, and we're selling policy A that only covers hospital and emergency room.
Yeah.
And you can buy that policy if you want it, and it's cheaper than if you buy a policy that covers your prescriptions and your doctor visits and your annual checkups and things on that line. I think we need to get back to a position so that people can be placed in a position that they can choose the coverage they want to choose and be able to pay the premium they want to. So it's kind of like, for example, if you're going to go, you know, rent a hotel. You can go stay in the Trump Tower if you want and pay billions of dollars a week, or you can go to the Motel 6 and pay $35. You know, you get to decide what you're going to pay for that particular service and who works. And the problem is that when Obama came out, my joke when I talked to people is that he looked at people and said, you guys are just too stupid to figure out what kind of policy you want, so therefore we're going to have a plan that covers everything.
All right, Tom.
Insurance companies in the business say, if you force us to cover this, we'll do it, but it's going to cost more money.
Yeah. Exactly.
Tom, thanks for the call. We appreciate you checking in. Thanks for the info, too. It's his business, so he knows.
And
he's
absolutely
way smarter than me on it.
But the fact of the matter is, insurance companies are in business. And if all they do is give away money but really never collect any, that's not a good business plan.
That's not a good business plan. I don't know that much.
So, you know, if you want to socialize medicine, you would probably have to socialize it for 100% of the people.
Jason and Mike, hold on. We'll take you right after the news. We've got news national and local coming up. But we will get to your calls next on 670 KBOI.
If you're talking about it,
they're getting nervous, and they should be nervous.
You know, I kind of disagree with what you're saying.
We're talking about it.
You know, I think it's kind of great that you guys have that duality.
This is Idaho Talks Live with Chris Walton and Paul J. Schneider on the News and Talk of Idaho, 670 KBOI.
David Allen in for Paul J. today. He will be back tomorrow. Let's quickly go out to Jason and Star. Thanks for holding on, Jason. How are you today?
Hey there. I've been in healthcare 2006 to present, and I don't care what he said. I know it wasn't wise from a political standpoint, but he was responding to a very loose, generalized talking point that just has no validity for me or those who think rather than just feel.
Yeah.
It just frustrates me. And, of course, he was there with probably a lot of opposers. So the crowd was really going to be really gravitating against him. But I'm just frustrated because I'm in the middle class, and so many of the responsible, accountable people are being crushed with health care they can't afford or access because of the deductible. So we just forego insurance, or not the insurance part, but the going to health care because we can't afford it, to subsidize a very small segment of the population. And trust me, I'm a compassionate person. But I deal directly with many of these people, their family, and the insurance. And too many of them, probably, I would say, and this is anecdotal, but my experience has been maybe 6 out of 10 in this category are not accountable, not responsible, but completely inappreciative, no follow-through. The drug addicted and the mentally ill would be the most difficult to motivate or keep compliant. So people are spending a lot of money and not getting anything in return because these ones, many of them, do not follow the road of hard work, being accountable, responsible. You know, some of the hospitals here actually go out of their way to pay for vouchers to drive them to appointments, even hold their hand and schedule appointments, and the people don't even show up. Tons of money is being wasted, and nobody knows this except for those in healthcare.
Yeah.
You could watch some of the most liberal social workers in the world. You let them go 10, 20 years in what I deal with, and they start to sound like a conservative.
Yeah, they get a little jaded. The people, you know, they're willing to help people, and then they find out that the people they're helping, some of them, don't really care.
Right. The talking points that, you know, people are going bankrupt, people are being, you know, destroyed, and they're all victims. There's very few people I met that are actual victims. You know, I met people who had better insurance than me. Their house didn't look better. They had a new Ford F-150. And they got Obamacare exchanges, and they were being subsidized. And I dreamed of having their insurance, and it didn't make sense. So
Jason Chaffetz, you know, from Utah, he said a few weeks ago, he was talking on one of the programs that was either Meet the Press or Face the Nation, and he said that there are a lot of people. He said, well, and it was kind of funny because he acted like it was about 80% of the people that do this, that they should be taking care of their health care, but instead they're buying a cell phone. And
right.
I thought, well, you know, there is a lot more in terms of technology that people assume is a necessity today that, you know, 40, 50 years ago, they didn't exist. And so some things are a little more expensive, but, you know, health care is more expensive too.
Right. You know, what's frustrating is there's no enforcement mechanism, which I'm leery of because I don't want the government getting intrusive and penalizing people, but there has to be some accountability so the money spent is well spent and worth it, and that the metrics can prove that you're getting you know, something in return for all these dollars being spent. But we can't combat people who live a lifestyle that goes towards obesity, diabetes, that continue to smoke or drink. And like I said, the drug addicted and the mentally ill have too many, they have all the freedoms and the rights, and there's no enforcement. You know, I wish there was some kind of, at least just kind of a probation.
Yeah, there would have to be some sort of standard set, but and you wonder who would set that standard. I mean, who is in a position to judge who is and who isn't healthy?
Right. And, you know, the other thing would be is the Medicaid, which is mostly what Obamacare is, an expansion while the rest of us pay for it. I have to admit, it doesn't pay. People don't want to deal with it. The reimbursements are so minuscule and frustrating, you just don't even want to touch that.
Yeah, Medicaid was designed as kind of a last resort thing.
Last resort, hopefully temporary, and you improve your life some.
Mm-hmm.
And what's frustrating is to make it where it's enticing for providers and hospitals and actually is pay worthy, would the cost be astronomical? You couldn't do that. We couldn't afford to make it a sweet, you know, reimbursement where the physicians and the hospitals actually can stay afloat on it.
All right, Jason, thanks for the info, man. Thanks for calling in. Hanging on. We appreciate it. Have a good day. He has some very good points, and I really don't know what the answer is anymore.
Got an instant message from Curtis who says, insurance providers charging high prices is one thing, but you have to go after the healthcare providers, the hospital, who were way overcharging. If the cost was brought down to what it really costs, the hospitals and insurance payments would be enough, and they could still make a profit. So let's look at that direction as well. You know, and if nothing in healthcare, if healthcare were totally provided by the government and there was no profit involved at all, I mean, you'd get everything essentially wholesale.
Yes.
I mean, that's not how they describe medical supplies, but I think that's what would happen. Of course, you know, your government very likely would also run out of money.
Exactly.
In your lifetime, like by this, September.
If not before.
Right.
Exactly.
Sheldon wrote in to say Republicans don't seem to understand that healthcare is vital to a country's sustainability. Some of healthcare is a consumer good, but most of healthcare should be a universal right. Obvious difference is a Botox shot would be consumer good, but a cancer screening or heart attack care should be a universal right. This is a grown-up discussion, and Labrador proved himself incapable of looking at the issue rationally. Those of us wanting single-payer are not wanting Venezuela or North Korean dictatorships or whatever straw-man argument absent-minded conservatives can come up with. We want the same health care found in Israel, Japan, Canada, Australia, and just about every other first-world nation. Yeah, and they do. They have that kind of universal health care in every country in Europe,
mm-hmm.
and in a few countries in Africa. South Africa is one. In a couple of countries in Asia. Well, let's put it this way: most of Asia actually, except China,
mm-hmm.
and of course in Canada.
Yes,
but like for instance. In South America, I think there might be like one country in South America that does it. So there are a lot of countries, and it is the somewhat richer countries,
yes,
that are able to do it. And well, I mean, China has plenty of money. The United States has a lot of money, but we don't do it, partially probably because of the number of people we have.
That's what it comes down to. 914, Gary and Emmett, hold on. We'll get to you after the break. We'll be talking to him next. 336-3700, 1-800-529-5264, or #670 on your Verizon Wireless. It's David and Chris on 670 KBOI.
This is Idaho Talks Live with Paul, Jay, and Chris. More local talk with Nate Shellman is live this afternoon at 3 on 670 KBOI.
919 KBOI rewards code is CONTEXT, CONTEXT, CONTEXT. That's not when you text someone who's in prison. CONTEXT.
Yeah, and it's not... You know, a text that just isn't positive.
Exactly. Go to KBOI.com, enter the keyword context, get your 5,000 rewards points. Back to the phones, Gary and Emmett. You're on 670 KBOI. How are you today, sir?
Fantastic, David. How are you and Chris?
We are doing well, thank you.
Well, when I saw that, the part that I saw in the news where the person was shouting at Congressman Labrador, saying people will die, I wanted to say to that person, well, what about the death panels that were established in Obamacare? And truly, that proved to be the case. And, you know, the fact is that if you have the government totally in charge of health care, remember, the end result is the government gets to it some point, mm-hmm. in some cases, determine who lives and who dies.
Yeah,
and ultimate decision.
Gary, I think you're absolutely right about that. But you know, that wasn't a brand new thing introduced with Obamacare. I mean, it was part of Obamacare, but I think when HMOs first started to appear, that's when people started discussing death panels for the same at that time, because with an HMO, somebody had to approve whatever you had done ahead of time. And quite often they would look at your age and your current health, and they'd say, no, that procedure isn't worth it. Let's not do it.
Yeah. And the thing is, though, if you look at a lot of countries, for instance, Australia, they have a two rail or mm-hmm. a binary healthcare system.
Exactly. If you can afford good stuff, you can get good stuff.
That's right. And in Europe, most of those countries the same.
Mm-hmm.
So when you're talking about the elites and the rich, what we get as far as health care, as speaking as I'm not, you know, if I reach middle class, it's the bottom,
right,
economically. what we receive doesn't matter. It's the health care that is offered to the people who can afford it. And unfortunately, it's always been the golden rule.
Yeah.
You know, so, you know, that's the thing. If it's a free market, though, at least there's an opportunity that there could be enough competition. You know, for instance, you know, there's all the things in electronics that are used now in medicine. Well, in places where there is competition, generally, everything electric has gone down. It's a lot less expensive to get a whole lot more computer for your desktop or laptop or even on your phone than it was a few years ago. However, if you look at electronics and medical devices, it goes the other direction.
Yeah, it's confusing. Thanks, Jerry. Hey, appreciate you checking in today. Thanks so much.
Boise Rabble Rouser writes in to say, lesson learned, don't trust anyone who says, trust me, I am a compassionate person, and then berates the downtrodden and uninsured for 5 minutes. Show up at the ER with stage 4 colon or pancreatic cancer that has never been diagnosed or treated because of no insurance. A quick death is certain.
Mike, you're on 670 KBOI with David and Chris. How are you, sir?
Well, a favorite topic. First off, I want to somewhat stand up for the congressman. You know, what he said was true. Nobody is will die or will be turned down. And his clarification of it, of the law that hospitals, medical providers cannot turn down anybody. But the big question with that comment is, who's going to pay for it?
Mm-hmm.
And it's an argument that I've had to educate myself with a lot the last few years. And, you know, if you go get a CAT scan at one of the imaging centers and you pay cash, it's $400. If you use your insurance, it's $1,200 plus whatever your deductible type thing is. But if you have it done at one of the hospitals, it's $2,600. And a few months ago, one of the hospital executives of the hospital said, well, the reason they have to offer more is they have an emergency room and they have this and they have that. And that is true because people don't pay half the time. And it's no different, and it's been brought up, your earlier caller, Tom, I think, very well educated on the subject. But, you know, that's why some of us can afford a Chevy and some of us can afford a Mercedes. You know, you're talking to somebody here that the health care monthly payment is $995 a month. Is that affordable? Well, it's up there.
Sure.
But, you know, you get all the politicians that talk about it and this and that. And, of course, they have health care. And many of them will have a program after they leave office. And I have no problem with that. But there's a whole other world out there of, I call Joe and Jill lunch bucket that are.
This is Idaho Talks Live. Today at 10, listen to Rush on 670 KBOI.
.936, David Allen in. I'm playing the little happy things. That's what I could have done in the Who.
Yeah.
Let's go back to the phones. Joy in Meridian, thanks for holding on. You're on 670 KBOI. How are you today?
I'm fine, thank you. I just wanted to make a comment. I was listening earlier and talking about the insurance medicine in Canada.
Mm-hmm.
I worked in Arizona for a number of years in a retirement area where we had a large base of Canadians that would come in the wintertime.
Mm-hmm.
And I cannot tell you how often we heard that they were on a 2-year waiting list for shoulders.
Yeah.
3-year waiting list for knees.
You hear the same thing in England, you know, with their National Health Service that, okay, you need this procedure and we'll put you on the list and you should get it in about 17 months.
Right. They would come, and since they were established in Arizona, they would get it within a matter of a shorter time,
yeah,
put it that way. So I'm not sure if that's what we really want to go for here in the United States, because it didn't sound like to us it was something that we would like to have.
Mm-hmm.
So I will just get off the line and hear your comments on that.
Joy, thanks so much for checking in today. We appreciate the call.
Arizona is an interesting place because so many people retire there.
Yes.
And retired people, for the most part, need more health care or better health care,
mm-hmm,
or more often, I guess, more frequently than other people. It's interesting to be in Arizona because you can be in certain towns. I'm trying to think of the names of some of them, like Chandler, Surprise, Gilbert, and stuff like that. And you can look around, and there will be a drugstore down here at the corner, and then half a block down at the other corner, there's another drugstore.
Yeah. And
in between, there's a clinic.
And on Mondays, while you and I are talking, and we talk about healthcare a lot, I tell, mm-hmm, you, I love the Daily Mail UK, and once a day, there's some story about somebody who gets denied a bed, and then 3 months later, they've got cervical cancer, or they're denied whatever test a woman needs because she's only 19 and her pain is all in her brain, and then she, yeah, has, you know, uterine cancer.
And like we were talking about with Australia, in Australia, everybody gets seen by the doctor,
mm-hmm,
Everybody, you know, gets to have medicine. Everybody essentially gets what they need at minimum.
Yes.
But if you have money, you can buy insurance in Australia and you can use it, or you can pay, you know, cash for doctors or whatever you want to do. But there, the possibility is if you go, if you are poor or if you are losing your money for some reason, you always have that option that you can take at least minimal care for free. And they said the whole point of that is in Australia is that, okay, and people have said that here, bankruptcies, 80% of bankruptcies that are filed just by, you know, individual families are from medical expenses.
Yes.
And in Australia, nobody files bankruptcy because of medical expenses, because that's the one thing that they wanted to get rid of, was people going completely broke because they got sick.
Yeah.
Now, as far as they're concerned, then, at least minimum health care is a human right. And now, and that kind of bothered me when, and that wasn't here, that was what was on NBC, or, yeah, they played it a lot on MSNBC and NBC and CNN a few weeks ago, when Raul Labrador had done his first town meeting there in Meridian, and a lot of people showed up, you know, and were mad about things he was saying. And he said straight out, he says, well, I don't believe that health care is a human right. And of course, that got a lot of boos and stuff, because those people do believe it's a human right. The only trouble with him saying that is that there are plenty of people who see things in two categories. It's either a human right or it's a privilege.
Yes.
And they can't understand why basic health care should be a privilege. And I don't necessarily put things into just two categories, you know, either a right or a privilege. I mean, there are things that are, you know, are decisions. Like, you know, okay, you have the right to life. But does that mean that, you know, we have to keep you alive? Or do you just have the right to be alive? You know, life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness.
Yeah.
But you notice that's, they don't say you have a right to life, liberty, and happiness.
Yeah.
It's the pursuit of happiness.
The pursuit of happiness.
So, I mean, is having to pay your own health care part of that pursuit of happiness?
Rich in Boise, you're on with David and Chris. How are you, sir?
Well, a couple things that some people called. How long do you wait for a knee replacement here if you don't have insurance or the money to pay for it?
Probably quite a while, yeah.
Yeah, people die all the time in the United States because they don't get health care. I don't know why you have to go to the Daily Mail to read about that. You could probably find all kinds of instances where you know, people have some sort of cancer. They don't get treated until it's too late.
Because I also get to read about a huge python that swallows a villager whole. That's why I go to the Daily Mail UK, brother.
Well, here's the thing. They're trying to pass a tax cut plan. And a tax cut, it has to be deficit neutral. They have to show that the tax cut isn't going to add to the deficit. So that's why they're doing health care first. They're going to cut $800 billion out of the Medicaid expansion, and they're going to cut all that stuff out of the Obamacare subsidies so they can show that they'll have money to pay for their tax cut. And that's why it's so important that they have to do health care before they can get the taxes. Because they have to come up with a way to pay for it. So they're going to pay for it by taking it out of medical. And, you know, the thing is, countries like Sweden and France and Germany and Canada, they spend about half as much per capita or considerably less. Some of them, you know, it's not quite half than we do. Their health care costs are way less than ours. And they have almost 80-90% of the people covered. Where our medical expenses here are way more than Sweden and France.
You know, and I think you've got a point there, because when it's not paid for by the private sector and by individuals, you have as a whole, as a people, you have kind of an impetus to streamline it a little better.
Well, yeah, and they must have some sort of controls on what people, you know, what hospitals and stuff can charge. There must be some sort of control. But their health care is as good as ours. I mean, their longevity is longer. And everything, you know, I mean, we rank ninth and tenth in the world in the effectiveness of our health care. We're way down. Our cost is way higher than everybody else's.
Yeah.
In the quality, we're ninth or tenth, and the countries that are above us, Canada is right where we are, and Germany, Japan, Sweden, you know, and all those other countries are actually rank above us. So, I mean, it's not, it doesn't necessarily cost more for it. We've just got such a hodgepodge. See, we have Medicare, which that's government paid for health care.
Mm-hmm.
And then we've got Medicare, and then we've got the Veterans Administration, and then we've got all these different other things that are government paid for, and then we have some that aren't at all, and some are private, and some get their insurance from where they work. Some don't get it from where they work, and if you don't get it from where you work, the chances are you can't afford to buy it, so you just go in when you're really sick. I mean, we just got a mess going on.
All right, Rich, thanks for the call. We appreciate it.
And it is. It is
a mess.
It's very complicated.
Yeah, it is.
And there are plenty of people who just want to simplify it, but in order to simplify it, it's like, you know, we've talked about this before. The most efficient kind of government is a dictatorship because mm-hmm. you've only got one guy making all the decisions and you don't have any argument and everything gets done quickly.
Exactly.
However, it's also kind of heinous because nobody has a say in anything that's happening. Okay, that's why we don't like dictatorships. Because we prefer to have a say. And if you have a country where everybody has a say, then, you know, not always is something going to be convenient for everyone.
Exactly. 9:45. We've got a full bank of calls. We're going to try to get as many as we can before the top of the hour. We'll talk to you next on 670 KBOI.
Remember, you are listening to Idaho Talks Live on 670 KBOI.
I'll let you know, Todd, not my favorite Dire Straits song, but that's all right. Don't worry about me. It's all about you. 9:49. Let's head to the phones. Becky and Star, you're on 670 KBOI. How are you today?
Hi, good, thanks. How are you?
We are doing very well. Thank you for calling in.
Oh, you're welcome. Thanks for letting me. I called because I used to be a hospital biller in Pricer, and everyone talks about insurance, and they're the reason costs are up so high. I kind of think after I did my job for so long, when they charge 10 cents for a Band-Aid, I mean, when they have to pay, the hospitals pay charge $4 to $6 for that 10-cent Band-Aid,
mm-hmm.
I got the impression that that's probably something that the administration should look at because these costs are being passed on. It's not the insurance. They're paying these costs. It starts with the pricing of the items and maybe get some controls on what the hospital and healthcare providers can charge because they're just ripping everyone off.
All right, Becky, thanks for calling in. We certainly appreciate it. Thanks.
Well, and there's a good general question. Should the government ever be able to set prices for any particular industry? In a free market, the answer would be no.
Yeah.
However, you know, if there are too many people who are saying the free market isn't necessarily working out for them.
I think I would only want them to step in when it's obscene, like when that guy raised the price 900% or whatever.
Well, because he says, because I can.
Because he could.
Yeah.
That's a BS
else,
reason to do that.
Where else are you going to get this drug?
Exactly.
If you need it, you have to get it from me.
Yeah, the EpiPen people there.
Yeah. However, you know, this is a company whose stockholders didn't mind that decision at all.
No, they did not. Not a bit. Rocky in Napa, you're on 670 KBOI with David and Chris. How are you?
Yeah, good morning. It could be worse, though. I could end up to be a liberal Democrat. The thing that Rich never mentions is what would happen if when the Democrats' big plan, the Obamacare plan, nobody did anything. It would collapse. I mean, that's how bad it is. And so he never mentions that. He never mentions a failure. And then when somebody tries to fix it, then there's, you know, they're always being jumped on because they're not doing it right.
Mm-hmm.
Well, come on, give me a break. And remember, way back when, like in the 60s, when there wasn't any government health care plan, a doctor visit was $10 to $20.
Right.
So that there's it. I mean, because there wasn't any government involvement. And as soon as the government got involved, the federal government started meddling in the medical situation. And things started again, and that was planned because I believe, and I think it can be pretty defined, that the Democrats wanted single-payer health care all the way back then, and it's never worked.
All right, Rocky, thanks for checking in. We appreciate the call. I'm a big believer, and I always have been, even when Obama first brought up the Affordable Care Act, that's because they all said, well, you know, it worked in Massachusetts, and then let states decide.
Well, you know, and
let states have their own
health
care.
And what's funny about that is, you know, Nixon essentially wanted to implement what amounts to now Obamacare.
Yes.
And that's how come it happened in Massachusetts when Romney was there.
Mm-hmm.
Because it was originally Nixon's idea for the whole country, but he, you know, I mean, Nixon started to run into too many problems to get anything done.
Yes, yes, he did. Many of those of his own doing.
And it never really got done, but it was originally a Republican thing, and when Nixon wanted it, the Democrats blocked it.
Yes. Roger and Cuna, you're on 670 KBOI. How are you?
Good. Hey, guys. You know, as far as the stats with, like, Sweden and these others being number one, they are very monoculture as far as their, you know, the background. We have lots of minorities and immigrants, and that's, if you took it out and broke it out by different parts of the population, it would be, we would be in one, two, or three for the Caucasian group in our country. But we have a lot of immigrants and other things going on, and so, yeah, we are down there. He also didn't mention, Rich didn't mention, that in Great Britain, they estimate 30,000 people die of cancer because of the health care, national health care, because they get diagnosed, but it's limited, and so they don't get treatment in time, and so it progresses to the point where they die.
Yeah, like I was telling him, every week I read about some girl, because she's under what they deem the right age to have a pap smear or whatever, and she has cervical pain. They go, oh, it's just in your brain. And then 6 months later, she's diagnosed with cervical cancer, and it's too late. It's fatal for her.
Exactly. You got to. It's just another layer. It raises the cost. And when a $20,000 operation can be had for cash for $3,000, you know, just let the free market work.
All right, Roger. Thanks for the call. We appreciate it. Eddie, I'm sorry. We ran out of time. I've only got 30 seconds left in the show. I'm a big fan of let the free market work. In many situations. But that's just me.
As long as it does.
I'm an old school guy.
The one caller did have a good point. As good as the intentions of the government are, for some reason, whenever they step into anything, they always leave the door open for people to take advantage of it.
Yes.
And people do.
When they step in, they step in it. Rush Limbaugh comes up after national and local news on 670 KBOI. Keep it here.